tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, 1st of September, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to look at something that's happening in Britain, a result of multiculturalism. Over here, we now have a problem with female genital mutilation, which young girls are having parts of their body cut off and bits of themselves sewn up. And you'll be pleased to know that that's not actually what we're going to be talking about today, but we are going to be talking about something related to that. We're going to be talking about forced marriage and the number of forced marriages that occur. And of course, forced marriage and female genital mutilation, they're all associated with a community in Britain that is not an indigenous community. It's a community that has immigrated here over the last 70 years after the Second World War, effectively. And it highlights the fact that we have these cultural differences between ourselves and between these other groups. Now, we've never had female genital mutilation in the West, but we did used to have arranged marriage, which is essentially what this is, only it's described as being forced marriage, but what it really is arranged marriage. And arranged marriage is the way that things used to be done in the West. If you look at Roman writers, for instance, they will say that marrying for love is essentially what the animals do. And what the humans do is they have an arranged marriage. They marry who their parents tell them they're supposed to marry. And there was good reason for that. It meant that the parents would make certain that the family that they were marrying into was a good family, that they were of equal social status. They would be the best people to decide to use their life experience, basically, to say whether that's going to be a suitable person for them to marry or not. And because of the nature of things, if you have a woman that, or a girl, basically, and the only male that they've seen is their father and their brothers, because they've been kept safely away from the rest of society, when they finally see the person that they've been betrothed to, the likelihood is that they will then fall in love with them. They will find them extremely attractive because it will be the only male that they've seen. And it's the same for the male. He's not used to seeing women. So when he finally sees this girl that he's going to be marrying, then he's instantly attracted to her. And if you look at statistics of arranged marriage, but before the West really made its way into India and feminism, there used to be no divorces there. And when I saw a study where they asked people from arranged marriages what it was like when they were in their 20s, and they said, oh, it was okay. And then the older they got, the more they said how great this marriage has been, and effectively they ended up falling in love after they were married. This falling in love sensation that we have, I think for many centuries, that did not take place until after you were married to somebody. And that was sort of, we have that in order that we can bond with one person, our spouse, so that we can bond with our spouse. And it happens over years, effectively, rather than seeing somebody and falling in love at first sight, because this falling in love at first sight would essentially happen when the girl would finally see the boy that they had been promised to, and you'd have these dynastic marriages. I mean, we still pretty much have it today with royalty. I mean, the last arranged marriage in royalty, I think, was Lady Diana and Prince Charles, and that was the last remnant of it. But that was the way that things were done in the ancient world. And, of course, it's still the way that things are done in parts of the Muslim world. Now, people might make this criticism, well, these were very young girls. Surely that's wrong. Surely we didn't do that in Britain. Well, if we look back in history, people like royalty, for instance, they would get married at a young age. I think it was Henry III. He married his wife at 12, but then they didn't sleep together for another 2 years, and she didn't get pregnant until she was 15. And that shows you that they would wait. I mean, they would have to consummate the marriage, but then they would wait for a couple of years until the girl had matured before they would regularly commence with consummating the marriage effectively. So that shows you that it wasn't that they were engaging in sex at a very young age. They would wait, but they would be married at a young age. And I'm not sure whether that's the case. I think in Islam, that's what Muslims will tell you. They will say that Prophet Muhammad, he was engaged to his wife Aisha at the age of 9, but it wasn't consummated until the age of 12. And of course, in the case of Henry III, the marriage was at the age of 12, but the wife didn't actually start producing children until they were about 15. So I don't think these young ages of arranged marriage in the West, I don't think that's indicative of pedophilia or anything like that. I think that the males would wait until the girl had developed. And don't forget that the male would also be roughly the same age, so they would need to develop as well. But we haven't had this in the West for a long time now. The age of consent has been 16, and it's not something that we don't have arranged marriage at all, but they still have it in the non-white world. And that's where today's article comes in. I'm using GB News here, and the headline is, "At least 100 children under 12 in forced marriage concerns. Shocking new figures reveal." At least 100 children under the age of 12 have been referred to the government's forced marriage unit in the past 5 years. Shocking new government figures have revealed. Now, that's just the ones that have been reported, because I would say only 100 out of all these Muslims and Hindus that we have here in this country, only 100 of them have been married at the age of under 12, because I would have thought that it was much higher number than that, probably 100 times higher than that. I mean, that's probably just 1% of the number that this has happened to, because don't forget, this is culturally acceptable in the countries that they come from. The data obtained by a Freedom of Information request has raised concerns ahead of schools reopening, with one campaigner warning there will be missing children. And again, with this female genital mutilation as well, there'll be missing children that have been taken off to Africa to undergo that trauma. The total disturbingly includes 27 children under the age of 5, Home Office figures obtained by the Press Association revealed. But as I say, I don't think these ones that are sort of under the age of 5, I don't think the marriage will be consummated. They would wait until the person is much older. But they would arrange marriages at a young age. And in the past, it would sort of, what that would do is it would mean that the two families could work together. They could form an alliance because their children would be married. And you also had this with cousins as well. This is why you have this problem in Islam with this cousin marriage, because Muhammad married one of his cousins. And what that does is it means that you form strong family bonds within this small group. And essentially in the Islamic nations, you have a nation which is made up of all these different groups together, essentially, that look out for their own interests. And in order to keep things like that and to keep the wealth within the group, you would have this arranged marriage. And that's why you would have marriages arranged when somebody was a young age. And these children would grow up thinking, well, I know what's going to happen to me in the future. This is this person that I'm going to marry. But of course, now they're being brought up in the West. They're being told that that's all wrong and that they should be feminists and that arranged marriage is all wrong. So you end up with these girls distancing themselves from their families. They can end up dating a Westerner. And of course, to the Muslim father, that's dishonouring the family. And then you get these cases of these young girls that have been murdered by their father and their brother for dishonouring the family, effectively for not going along with the arranged marriage scheme because they've been indoctrinated in British schools to see that as being wrong. And it's a tragedy that it occurs, really. And it's because of this multiculturalism. As I say, it's no good for anyone. It's not good for white people, but it's certainly not good for Muslims either. I mean, it splits up Muslim families. It splits up these non-white families. And you have lots of these daughters that have to hide from their family and have nothing to do with them. And they think that they're doing the right thing because they've been taught to go along with Western values rather than to go along with Islamic values. And in order to see which system is best, I mean, really, you should look at the statistics. Do marriages stay together more in the Islamic world or in the Western world? Well, I haven't got the statistics on hand, but I would think I could lay a safe bet and say that marriages are more likely to stay together in the Islamic world. And of course, the person on the left would say, well, that's because it's much harder to divorce. But it also might well be because arranged marriages are more likely to stay together than the Western way of doing things. It's like when you look at rape gangs, which is an entirely Western phenomenon. You say, oh, isn't it terrible that in the Muslim countries, these women cover up from head to toe in black? Oh, it's terrible. But it means that they don't have any rapes in that country. If you compare their rape rate to the West, you'll see that they have far less rapes there because the women are always attended, the women are always covered up, and the men never have to deal with unwanted sexual urges. They never have to learn self-control, effectively. And then they come to the West and they see women that aren't covered up, that are unattended by a male, and they can't control their sexual urges because they've never had to, effectively. And that's why we have this rape problem with them in the West. And of course, the people on the left would then say, ah, yes, but you get a lot of rape within marriage. And of course, in Islam, that's not possible to happen because when you consent to be married, that's effectively giving your consent to have sex, effectively. And they will look down on that. But that's something that was accepted in the West 100 years ago. It was seen that when you made your wedding vows, that was giving consent to have sex. So it was seen that rape couldn't actually occur. So you can see from that it's just different ways of dealing with things. We have to get married. We have to have children. We have to replace ourselves. And what's the best way to do it? Is it the best way to have dating and have the person getting married pick and choose who they want to marry? Or is it the best to have a grown adult doing that with all the life experience that they have that can see what somebody is going to be like? And it's the same with this women being covered up. Men have sexual urges. They can be very strong. They can be very distracting. What is the best way to deal with that? Is it to tell men that they have to have self-control and then parade half-naked women around them all the time in society? Or is it better to say, well, us women will cover ourselves up so that there's less chance of you being distracted and less chance of the men not being able to or being overwhelmed by their sexual desire? It's different ways of looking at things. And it does say on the Radio Albion introduction page that we are cultural relativists here. And I think this is a good example of it, because there are pros and cons for whatever people do within their societies. But clearly they don't mix. You can't have a society that is built around arranged marriage and then bring that community into a society that is built around consensual marriage, individual consensual marriage. it's going to cause problems. And of course, because it's illegal, now you have the police investigating it. And now we have all these Muslim families that have essentially been split up by this. And what does this do for to the Muslim males in the family? Well, it causes them to resent the West, doesn't it? It causes them to see the West as responsible for their family being dishonoured by their daughter. The West as being responsible with its feminism for them having to kill their daughter to retain the honour of their family. So it just breeds resentment. And of course, it breeds resentment amongst the host population as well, to see their people being replaced by this other people group with completely different ways of doing things. Referrals can be made to the Forced Marriage Unit, the FMU, which operates across the UK by police, social services and education professionals, friends, family members, colleagues or victims themselves who might seek support and guidance. And of course, in the cases where it's not the victim themselves that's reporting this, it's going to be seen as, by the family, it's going to be seen as teachers inserting themselves where they're not wanted, social services doing that, and it's just going to cause problems all round, really. Dame Jasvinda Sangira, who ran away from her Derby home aged 14 when faced with the prospect of a forced marriage, said the number of children under the age of 5 was deeply disturbing. Does she still have a relationship with her family, though, after doing that? And does she think that it was worth it to rebel against her family's culture, if the result of that means that you're never able to speak to your family again? She added that in some cases, a child can be promised to somebody from birth with a marriage taking place many years later. And I say that was also the case. I mean, that could be the case in the West when a princess would be arranged to marry a prince. I mean, it was a case a while back when if you were a royal, you weren't allowed to marry anybody without the say-so from the king. And the king would try to match up these royals with other royals so that there would be peace between one country and another country. I mean, this is the origin of this, where, say, for instance, an English prince would be betrothed to a princess from a certain part of France. And the objective of that is that then there would be peace between England and France through these dynastic marriages. She said, "I know that when schools open in September, there will be missing children. The opportunity to identify them was preschool holidays. Is somebody going to ask where they are, or are they simply just going to go off the school roll?" And what she's doing here is she's expecting the host nation to do this. And we have enough problems with our own criminals and our own problems within the white community. And what multiculturalism has done is saying that, oh, no, we don't need to just be looking out for problems with our community. We need to be concentrating on all our resources on solving the problems for this other community, this problem that we are actually the ones who have created it by promoting feminism in the schools and telling the young girls that they should be rebelling against their ancestral culture. So she's expecting white people to identify these youngsters that are at risk. And of course, that's just going to cause the Muslim community to resent white people all the more, isn't it? She says, "Or children will come back engaged or even married. The data covered the years between 2021 to 2025, but some years were not disclosed due to the very small number of individuals involved, which could potentially allow them to be identified." And as I say, that makes me think that these numbers that they're actually talking about here, the real numbers is going to be, could be hundreds of times more. Because what we have here is the very, very, the minuscule number that actually go against their culture and report this as happening to someone. The actual numbers of it happening is going to be hundreds of times more than the numbers where the police have actually got involved. It's the same with FGM. The police don't get involved in that at all. And yet there are massive sentences that can be given to somebody for carrying this out, but the police just don't get involved in it at all. I've even seen adverts about female genital mutilation that have white girls in them. That's how ridiculous it is. But the figures show that at least 100 children up to the age of 12 were referred across the five-year period, of which 62 were aged 10 or below, with 27 aged 5 or under. And as I say, we shouldn't be looking at that and thinking, oh, that's paedophilia, because the marriage would not necessarily be consummated at that age. The Home Office noted that a referral means some details were provided about an actual, potential or suspected forced marriage, but does not necessarily mean a forced marriage has taken place. Look at the way that they changed that. It used to be arranged marriage. Now it's a forced marriage. Dame Jasvinda, who received a damehood for services to the victims of child, forced marriage and honour-based abuse, said the true level of forced marriage is likely to be higher, as there is inevitably going to be a high number of children and adults whose situations never reach statutory services. And I say that that's likely to be much, much more than that. And this honour-based abuse, I mean, it really is a part of their culture, that if the daughter refuses to marry who she's supposed to marry, then that family is dishonoured. That family, it has less status than it originally had. And the only way to restore that status is to say, well, I am such a principled person that I will kill my own daughter because we don't want these genetics that have caused her to rebel against our culture. We don't want those genetics to breed, and we don't want this to happen again, and we need to make an example of this, and I'm so principled I will kill my own daughter. That's the thought processes that actually go along with this, and it is a part of their culture that it's honor. So what they're indoctrinated with in these Western schools, it's a wonder that more of them don't actually go against this. But as I say, I think hundreds of them do go along with this, and it doesn't actually get reported. They must teach them from a young age. Don't ever talk about this at school. Don't ever mention this to white people. Otherwise, you could be taken away from your family. Mr. Raqib Eason, a social policy analyst, agreed, telling GB News that many of these cases never reach the statutory services. What this has exposed is the dark underbelly of modern multicultural Britain, he told GB News. And it's just another part of this dark underbelly. And it's not the fact that this is going on and we need to stop it. It's the fact that this is contrary to Western culture. It's contrary to the way that we do things as white people. Why have we imported these people into our country whose cultural practices that are so essentially a part of their culture that they will actually kill to preserve them? Why have we got them in our country? And why are we being forced to investigate these things and try to prevent these things from happening, when they're an essential part of the culture of these people that we've brought into our country? It's insane. You think about all the resources that go into this against preventing an entire people group, because it is part of their culture. It is an essential part of their culture is to follow Muhammad's life. He's seen as the perfect person, and he married his cousin at the age of 9. So it is an essential part of their culture. Why have we got them here? And then we teach the children in the schools that that's actually wrong, and then we have to use the police to try and enforce it. And you would think that these Muslims wouldn't actually want to come into Britain because our cultures are so different, but they do, possibly because life is much easier here than in places like Pakistan. All the infrastructure works, for instance. The academic warned against public institutions being afraid to confront issues such as forced marriage. I don't think it's a part of our business, really, to be confronting these issues. We shouldn't have to confront these issues because we shouldn't have to have these people in our countries in the first place. He said, what we need to really challenge is the culture within certain public institutions and statutory services for fear of being accused of racism and being bigoted against certain communities. What they need to do is prioritise their duty of care. Well, we're effectively being racist against the community by condemning this part of their culture. I mean, by Western standards, it's wrong. But if you look at statistics of whether these arranged marriages result in divorce or not, You could look at them and you could say, well, this is clearly a superior way of doing things. So why are we accusing it of being inferior? Well, surely that is a form of racism, isn't it? To claim that these people are inferior because of the way they do things. Dame Jasvinda, a charity founder, said it was the tactics of perpetrators to hide behind accusations of racism. And of course, that doesn't just apply to this. I mean, that applies across the board. If a non-white person can deflect the blame for something by claiming racism, then they will definitely do it, won't they? I mean, the most egregious example of that was Vikram Digwal when he murdered Henry Novak and then claimed that Henry was being racist towards him. So, I mean, this is being admitted here. This is what PAC perpetrators do. They will hide behind accusations of racism. And what I'm saying is it's not just people involved in what they call here forced marriage. It's any non-white that is accused of something. If they can get out of it by making an accusation of racism, then they will. So they will try to put you on the back foot. This is our culture. This is our religion. You're being racist or whatever to put you on the back foot, to make you look the other way. But they are correct, aren't they, in this case, that it is being racist. It's looking down on their culture and saying, well, this culture is inferior to ours and it's wrong to have arranged marriage, and we're going to call it forced marriage because we look down upon it and we see it as inferior. So they're quite correct in this case when they say, well, you're being racist to say that. But of course, that will instantly deflect the investigation, won't it? But if there are accusations of racism, because when there's an accusation of racism in the police, for instance, it then becomes a critical nature. It's critical that the accusation of racism is investigated first before anything else. So it's effectively a counter-offensive, isn't it, for them to make an accusation of racism when they've been accused of something else. Encouraging teachers and professionals to report concerns, she added, cultural acceptance does not mean accepting the unacceptable. That's just a part of the chaos of multiculturalism, isn't it? Is that you're going to get these unacceptable parts of other people's cultures occurring in your country. Dr. Isan said, glamour feminism, often focused on how women are treated in sort of the higher echelons of more glamorous industries at the expense of more challenging problems. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of traditional feminism, challenging issues such as forced marriage, many liberal progressives, they are nowhere to be seen, he added. And that's because feminism is essentially, it's a weapon to be used against white people. It's not there to be used against non-whites. It's there to weaken white society by promoting feminism. We see that the feminists don't have anything to do with the grooming gangs either. And they don't complain about that. And they say, oh, that's just racism. What they're interested in is attacking white men. They're not really interested in attacking brown men. The Home Office said, a forced marriage is not a problem specific to one country, religion or culture. There is no archetypal victim or perpetrator, and no two cases are the same. Well, I would beg to differ, really, because it's more common in non-white countries, isn't it? You're not really going to get it in white countries. You might get gypsies engaging in this sort of behaviour in places like Albania, possibly in places like Bulgaria. I mean, you might get gypsies doing it. And a lot of the time, gypsies are non-white. Travellers aren't necessarily non-white. Irish travellers aren't necessarily non-white. But gypsies are, and the other people that are going to engage in it are going to be Hindus and Muslims, Pakistanis and Indians and Arabs. So you can say that it is carried out by non-whites. And it is specifically Hinduism and Islam. You can't say that it's Christianity. You can't say, oh, it's Christianity that has these arranged marriages, because it doesn't. The figures also show there were 9 referrals in 2022 of children aged 12 or under, which had no overseas element, with the potential or actual forced marriage taking place entirely within the UK. And as I say, it's got to be more than nine of those that take place. I mean, it's going to be thousands of those that take place, possibly even hundreds of thousands. The Home Office did not give data for the other years, as there were between 0 and 5 cases in each age group, meaning there was the risk of individuals being identified. The department also declined to provide the age of the youngest person referred to the unit in the last 5 calendar years, saying this could potentially lead them to be identified and that disclosure could potentially deter others from coming forward. Well, it may be that a child is promised, or a child is promised to the son of another marriage if the pregnancy produces a daughter. So it may be that in these cases that some of these arranged marriages actually take place before the person is even born, as part of a part of these promised alliances. I mean, that's the sort of thing that used to happen with royalty. It would be prearranged that the daughter of one royal would be given to the son of another royal. A Department for Education spokesperson said there is nothing more important than the safety of our children. Well, that's a nonsense, isn't it? Because they certainly aren't putting the safety of our children first when they put people with a heightened risk of sexual abuse and rape living right next door to them in these houses of multiple occupancy, or these old RAF bases, army bases. And the safety of our children is right at the bottom of priorities there, isn't it? Our strengthened Keeping Children Safe in Education guidance provides staff with robust information to help identify different types of abuse and harm, including abusive behaviour such as forced marriage, and clearly sets out what all staff should know and do and how to respond to any concerns about a child. So what they're saying here is the natural marriage that goes on in these Islamic countries is actually abusive behaviour. It's such an essential part of these non-white peoples to have arranged marriage. It's essential. It's an essential part of their culture. And yet the British government here are describing it as abusive behaviour. So they're effectively saying that all these people are child abusers in those countries where they come from. So, and if they're going to say here there's nothing more important than the safety of our children, why are they allowing these people that they have just described here as child abusers into our country if the safety of our children is what's more important than anything else? Our new RSHE, that's Relationships, Sex and Health Education curriculum, will also teach pupils from this September about positive relationships, staying safe, recognising and reporting risks and abuse, with different forms of abuse addressed sensitively and clearly at appropriate ages. So what they're saying there is they're going to teach the children at school that arranged marriage is wrong and how to recognise it, and that it's an abuse. What do you think about these Muslim children? What are they going to think when they're taught that their parents' marriage and their cousin's marriage is actually abusive and it's abuse? It's going to cause the Muslim families to resent white people, isn't it? And it's also going to cause these children to resent white people and think that we're terrible for condemning their culture like this. And I mean, it wouldn't matter if we didn't actually have them living in our country. You could be fine to compare these other cultures and say, well, look, this is terribly wrong the way that they do this. But as I say, the other argument on the other side is, well, let's just have a look at the statistics. Do these marriages stay together? Are the people in these marriages happy? And the answer is actually yes. So when you look at it from that point of view, you can't really say that the West's way of doing things is best. I mean, what you can say is that multiculturalism is always going to be the worst, and it's not going to be a benefit to either group. And that's why I'm an ethno-nationalist. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.